This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, hello everyone. It's Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio. Good to have everyone joining us worldwide, not only on our YouTube channel, our Twitter feed, Facebook, and LinkedIn, but of course, you'll always get a chance to get this episode out as a podcast. Each and every Thursday, we put out every week's Town Hall Academy. We're going to talk about service advisors. And, you know, we've done role plays before, but we've never really had a panel of service advisors. In fact, we have one coach and two service advisors just to talk about the job, what their role is, and maybe even how it works between, you know, the office, the front counter, and the back of shop. With me is Rena Rennebaum from Empowered Advisor. Hello, Rena.
Hi. Thanks for having me again.
And thanks for bringing this together. Mike L. Sesser, DK Automotive Repair. Hello, Mike.
Checking in from California and good to be on.
Points in, where in California, remind me?
We're in Northern California. We're in Antioch. So we're about, if you were going to make a triangle between Sacramento and San Francisco, I'm in that neighborhood on the river.
Oh.
On the Sacramento River.
Are you close by Napa Valley then?
Not far at all. 35 minutes.
Whoa.
To Napa.
Whoa. I'm jealous.
That's Carm's heaven.
Would that be a good place for you to be? I go there for the fishing.
I am jealous. Courtney Archer is here from Global Car Care, Wenatchee, Washington.
Nice try. That sounds right. It's pronounced Wenatchee.
Yeah, that's right.
Wenatchee.
I'll blow it at the end. I'm sure I'm positive of it. All right. Well, thank you all for being here. I'm excited to do a service advisor, just discussion about the roles that they have. We want to thank our great sponsors. You know, don't waste your tech's time while you start an RO from scratch. Dispatch faster so they get on with their repair. With Shopware's software's exclusive expediter, your staff saves time, works more accurately, and speeds up service on the web at getshopware.com. And did you clean the fuel tank the last time you replaced a fuel pump? Well, contamination buildup in the tank not only impacts the vehicle's performance, but it can also damage the fuel pump. Clean the fuel tank in 5 minutes with Delphi Technologies Fuel Tank Cleaning Tool. Ask for it every time you buy a Delphi pump. Learn more at DelphiAftermarket.com. I think there's so much to learn about the opportunities, the challenges, the role that our service advisors play. I hope we can talk about communications and some of the goals that we have. And one of the curious things, Mike and Courtney, that I have is we always think about having the know, like, and trust factor with our current client base. We get that. But every time the phone rings and it's someone new, obviously we are charged with bringing in new business. And I would love to find out what your attack and your angle is on that. So, Rena, I'll let you lead this great discussion.
One thing that we teach, and actually, Courtney, we talked about this last week, is we want to start off with a really pleasant greeting. We are painting the mental image of the business when we answer the phone. So if we answer the phone and we are sounding rushed, we are sounding frazzled, that's the mental image that somebody is going to get of our shop. And so we really want to work on having a nice, slow greeting, sounding present, sounding available and helpful for the customer. Honestly, I think that Courtney and Mike, because they do this every day and because I've been working with them both for years now, I'm curious what you guys think.
So I feel like my biggest strength that I've accumulated over the years is just, and also my personality is just my tonality. Just being able to answer the phone, just take on whatever kind of problems that people are bringing to me, you know, and I'm here to help. And the great thing is I can get all the answers. I can make it happen. And just my tonality, I want to let people know that it is okay to come to me. We're going to get this figured out together. I'm here to help you. So tonality for me and just putting people at ease is my biggest strength as being a service writer. Mm-hmm. And answering the phone just right away, putting people at ease.
Courtney, you've been in the industry how long?
9 years.
And it's been always at the counter?
It has been, actually, yeah. My first 2 years, I actually did training in automotive. I was actually working on cars. And from there, they actually said, wow, you're a female. The industry is growing and we want you to be the face. I got sent around to a whole bunch of dealerships and I was shadowing technicians working on cars. And I was also shadowing service writers. And I was actually still in high school when I was approached by a dealership who wanted me to be a part of their team. And I said, well, I'm still in high school. So I was able to make it work. I did half high school and I went the other half working for a dealership as a face of their business.
It's a fascinating story.
Thank you. I love it.
I love that. Someone saw something in you.
Yeah, I'm very grateful.
So please remember, you know, as Courtney only looks like she's still only 20, she's been in the industry for 9 years. So appreciate the things she's saying. She's got some tenure.
Thank you.
And that's one of the reasons I'm kind of excited to, Rena recently decided that she was going to pair us and we're going to be working together. And we're so very almost polar opposite as far as our backgrounds, right? Here's someone that came out of high school with an idea of what they wanted to do. In that shadow training was able to make things happen, make it work, and is really great at what she does. I come from a completely different background, which is I was installing floors and found out that we started having a lot of truck problems. So we downed a truck once a week and I worked on trucks to keep the fleet from being broken down. I created a maintenance program for the trucks. Found that I loved working on the trucks. And so I ended up going to school and became a technician, was a technician for 15 years, became a service advisor, worked my way all the way up to, I was a service manager at a Lexus dealership for all of 90 days before I decided that that was not where I needed to be. And the aftermarket and this, the service that we're allowed to provide here compared to the dealership grind where it was always numbers. Every business pays attention to numbers, but dealerships were rough. So I ran a small tire shop for a while, had an opportunity to become a service advisor here at the best shop in my town, maybe one of the best in the county. And the first thing they introduced me to was Empowered Advisor and a coaching and training group. And I was like, boy, here we go again. Sounds just like the dealer. And then I met Rena. And in 5 years, I learned how to be a problem solver. I learned how to be a listener. And so as much as it's how you talk, I think the fact that she taught me to really slow down and listen. So I think Rena hit the nail on the head when you say, slow down. I know a service advising is 9,000 miles an hour, but if you can just slow down and hear that one person for a minute and kind of get a feel for what's their big issue.
Listening, is it the single most important trait, being a good listener?
I mean, there's so many important traits, but I'm going to say yes. I mean, you know, I made a list of all of the things that I think that service advisors need to do. And Mike said listener, and I thought that that was a good one. Also, we have to be masters at customer service. We are writers. We write legal documents. Every customer that comes in the door, we are writing a legal document. Sometimes we're reading legal documents because if a customer comes in with an extended warranty contract, we're reading that document, we're deciphering what's covered, what isn't covered, and then we're almost acting as their attorney when we call and now fight right for what's theirs. In addition, a lot of service advisors end up becoming, like, I don't want to say mini technicians because I don't want to lead anybody down the wrong path here, but we do become quite technical. We do understand quite a bit about cars without really knowing how to work on them. So our roles are huge. And you're right. Yes, listening so that you write down everything on that repair order because that is becoming a legal document. That's what protects the customer and protects us as a shop. So yes, you need to listen so that you can write a legal document that makes sense and that a judge would understand.
One of the things that I was taught in the very beginning was we would listen to phone calls, right? And it's like, oh God, another just kill me now, right?
Let's pick this up about listening to calls. To me, it sounds like a really tough thing for an individual to sit down with their supervisor, could be the owner of the shop or a coach like Rena would be. And Mike, I just talking about listening to calls. Yeah, what's your take on that? I mean, was it really difficult?
In the beginning, it was, but the thing that I realized, you know, these are all skills that you can learn. So I became a really good communicator. I understood cars. I understood the breaking down of cars, but to understand what people's main concerns were. One of the things I learned was I'm not trying to fix the car over the phone. I'm really trying to help this person with a problem. If they really have a broken car, if it's maintenance, that's pretty easy and reasonable. And there is a conversation that we have about that. And I'm training my company here to not make oil change appointments, but we're working on something different. But in this listening to phone calls, I realized that there's times you get a call from somebody and really that the car broke down is the last thing on the list. It's not the most important thing to them. It's just one more thing. And so their main concern is I've got to pick up kids from soccer practice or I need to make it to the airport by a certain time. Can I help solve that problem? And then I became a friend and we solved that problem together. And the car will take care of when you get back from wherever your trip is. But I had someone who told me there's no rental cars in town anywhere. Have you called U-Haul? Well, I need a rental car. Rent a pickup truck. So just solving problems. But I'm listening to what's wrong with the car. Where are you? You know, thinking about how much is this ticket going to be? Do they need financing? But really, their main concern was I need to get where I'm going. And there are no rental cars. I thought, well, man, I can help with that. I know a slick trick. You're going to call U-Haul, get yourself a pickup truck for a day or two and call it good. So listening to what is their real concern. They called and said their car broke, but they called and said their car broke and they were on their way to the airport or they were on their way to grandma's house or whatever that was. And that was the big deal. So I've learned a lot over the 5 years listening to phone calls by working with somebody that does that for a living that says, you didn't notice that this person said transportation was their issue. You didn't notice when this person said family concerns were their greatest issue. And the car is probably not going to be a big deal. They have money for the car. They can get it fixed. It's just taking care of this problem first.
I like that you said, Mike, that somebody who's trained to listen to calls. And I say that because you do want to listen to calls with somebody who actually knows what they're listening for. Some critique that I will give business owners without them asking for it is that generally they can be really harsh. Can you believe you missed this sale? And they can really be harsh on the advisor and they can really impact that person's confidence. And so being somebody who's been trained on how to do this is my goal is the name of my business. My goal is to empower people. My goal is to get them to feel good about what they're doing. And so, yes, it is my job also to say, hey, this could be done better. This could have been, you know, this missed opportunity. And generally, it goes back to what we said earlier is slowing down. It's slowing down. It's listening. It's making sure that you're hitting the right points for the customer. But going back to listening to calls, I don't know about Mike and Courtney, but I wouldn't want to sit and listen to calls with my boss. You know, I think that this is a protected space that we put people in when we have them listening to calls with a coach, because that person has their best interest in mind. Not that an owner of a business doesn't, but I don't think they have the time to sit down and give the praise and you know, find the way to explain to the advisor how they could have done it better without saying, look where you screwed up.
There's probably more good in listening into a call than there is bad. In your case, Courtney, as an example, to your point, if your boss was sitting down and listening to him with you and he's got a million things to do, he's going to point out the things that he wasn't happy about. And I'd like you to fix that, please, again tomorrow, Courtney. Thank you. I don't ever want to hear this again. And if it was Rena, she'd be pointing out that was really good and it arched into this and that worked out well. And oh my God, that was like one of the most perfect calls in the world. But let's talk about this next one. And to me, I would love to know that I'm doing a whole bunch of things right.
Do you agree, Courtney?
I do. I was reliving the moment. When someone's telling you something negative, that kind of flusters you a little bit. And you're focusing on the negative things. But when Rena really talks with us, she's talking about the good, positive things. Just hearing that encouragement makes me want to do things better. It makes me want to pay attention to things more in depth. You just have a different perspective when you come into things and your mindset. You're ready to work. You're ready to look for the good things and trying to help these people and make everything better.
Hey, stop guessing and get working on the next car or the opportunity to buy a second shop. Now, once you can see through the fog of numbers coming at you all day, you use less brain power to make better decisions. Start with reading the gauges on every bay and every tech with Shopware's capacity dashboard. Now, it makes it easy to see where you can squeeze in one more repair. Then get an overview of every business metric in your shop. Build your reports your way so the numbers that drive you jump out at you whenever you need them. Even if you add more shops to your operation, all the numbers end up consolidated by location or any way you want to slice and dice them. You're in control every step of the way, customizing as you go. Get a clear view. Get more profits. Get shopware.com. As the trusted aftermarket brand for over 100 years, Delphi Technologies is by your side for every step of the repair process. The Delphi journey doesn't stop once the parts are ordered. Wherever your journey takes you, our quality parts gives you ease of mind when getting your customer's vehicle back on the road. Technicians know and trust Delphi as a quality brand. Each product undergoes rigorous testing to not only meet OE standards, but also enhance it in each opportunity. From 700 hours of spray testing on chassis components to fuel pumps tested for reliability up to 150,000 miles. And safety and reliability is paramount to help vehicles drive cleaner, better, and further throughout their lives. Delphi is also committed in developing products and services to prepare technicians for the future. Take advantage of how-to videos on YouTube, technician-led trainings, and our technical support line, and more. Turn to the aftermarket parts supplier with over 100 years of OEM trust and quality. Learn more about Delphi. Visit DelphiAftermarket.com. I got a great question for you, Rena. You're sitting down with Courtney and you're going over some calls. Is there a moment in time that Courtney becomes the coach and she actually says, "Oh, I can't believe it. I couldn't."
Yeah, more often than not. Yeah, generally, I do a lot of just listening. Because when you're critiquing yourself, I mean, you're going to be the hardest on you. If anything, I'm trying to reel people back in and say, "Hey, yeah, yes, you're right. Yes, and did you hear all of these other good things that you did?" And, you know, I want to talk about Mike for a second, because when I first started working with Mike, he was just one of the most open-minded people. And I hear a lot of shop owners say, "You know, I really don't want to hire this older person because they can be," sorry, Mike, "they can be stuck in their ways." And the truth is that, yes, I have worked with people of all ages that can be stuck in their ways. I've worked with people of all ages who are really open-minded and want to better themselves. And so that's something that Mike has definitely taught me, is that he is one of the most open-minded people that I've ever worked with, and such a pleasure to work with. And that's honestly what makes being a coach so great, is when you work with people like, and Courtney is the same. So when you work with people that want training, when you work with people that want to do better, they're kind of easy to work with, to be honest. And so I want to go and talk a little bit about their phone calls, because we wanted to talk about communication and we wanted to talk about the different ways that service advisors communicate. So I wanted to talk about that. Service advisors do a lot and the majority of their communication on the phone. This is where they build trust. This is where they make sales. This is where they communicate with people. And granted, a lot of shops are moving to a little bit more digital format so that they can communicate with their customers through a text like, "Hey, just heads up, your car's in the shop. We're going to call you in about an hour to go over things." But still, phones are our number one source of communication in our shops, at least the majority of them. And so it is so important that we have the best trained people on the phone, the people that want to be on the phone, the people that care about the phones, that care about people that are on the other end of the phones. Communication really starts and trust starts being built at that initial phone call. So when a shop owner calls me and says, "Rena, we're not doing well on sales," I say, "Great, I need to listen to your calls when we're making appointments." And they're like, "What? What do you mean?" Right. Well, because that's where we plant the seed. Mike was saying that we are working on, we don't want just oil change appointments any longer. The truth is that customers need more than just an oil change. And so we are really focusing on making that happen before the car even comes in, because we want to be able to set a reasonable expectation for the customer. So yeah, I don't want you to go, "Yeah, come in for a waiting oil change at 8 o'clock. And then when you get here, then I find out, oh yeah, and you need a 60,000 mile service and it looks like you need brakes and you need this, this, and this." So we're actually doing our best to determine that as much as possible before the customer arrives. So Mike and I created a process. Mike, do you want to talk about the process about that we created for no oil changes?
So this is the necessity is the mother of invention, right? So technicians, you get the stink eye when it's really, so I'm going to look at this 80,000, 90,000 mile car and do an oil change while they wait. And I'm going to roll it out of here and you're going to tell them about things that they need and hope they come back in a month or so. I have other cars I could be working on, right? So one, as beautiful as my waiting room is, we remodeled our store like 5 years ago now, and it's still, we really work on keeping it immaculate. It's a beautiful facility, but I don't really need people hanging out, listening to all my phone calls and other people's concerns. And there's really other things they could do with their time. So I don't really want people hanging out in my waiting room. That's not the best use of their time. Technician doesn't really want to do just an oil change. And I thought, well, how many cars are coming in here for an oil change a day? And it wasn't a ton. In my store, it was about five, maybe four. And I said, well, how many of those cars really are due for a manufacturer's scheduled maintenance? How many of them are hitting that 60, 90, 100,000 mile mark? They're still not huge services anymore because cars are different. But if when making that appointment, I ask the customer simple things, you know, oh, you've never been here. Well, thanks for calling, you know, D&K. I'm really glad you chose us. And we are a AAA authorized shop, blah, 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 my whole spiel. But hey, if you had your license plate number, I could check the factory maintenance schedule and see if there's anything else that looks important other than your oil change. That way we can figure out how much time is needed and schedule your car that way. That would be the best schedule. And so by just asking simple questions, license plate and mileage allows us to schedule them for, even if it's one more fluid, even if it's, you know, so many of the cars now are talking about brake fluid at 30,000 miles. If the customer knows that up front, willing to leave the car, they've already planned for how much money they need. They already know they need alternative transportation or a shuttle ride home. So now I'm not trying to do all that right at the counter. I've speeded up the process at the counter and can handle more cars. And it's a better service for the customer. I know everything equates to dollars, but I'll be honest, that all works itself out. If you're treating the customer right, if you're paying attention to what the car actually needs to keep it on the road, our whole thing where I work is I just want to keep you off the funny looking truck with the hook. So whatever it takes to do that, if I'm doing that for you, I've done my job well. It usually means, because we're going to make the same either way, whether I maintenance your car or you wait till it breaks, I end up with the same amount of dollars in the till. So,
well, you generally end up with more. If it does break down, right? You generally do. So this way, we actually don't end up with more, but we are here to, you know, just give you better customer service. So instead of just trying to get cars in and out, we're trying to slow the process down, build a relationship, build the trust. And like Mike said, ask a few questions. How many miles? When's the last time you had a major service? It's just asking these few simple questions. And almost one day a week, Mike is sending me a repair order that is over $1,000 that a customer called on the phone and said, I need an oil change. And over the phone, Mike was able to sell them $1,000 worth of maintenance at least once a week.
Since the customer only knows a couple of things, how much, and he also knows I need an oil change, are they asking and or begging for help by saying that?
No, I don't think they're really asking for help. I think they are telling us what they want, what they think they need.
We've done that a lot in working with Reno over the years. We've recognized that the customer doesn't know another question to ask. They don't know what else to tell you. My car says I need an oil change. Well, your car probably didn't tell you you need a transmission service, brake fluid, and all these other inspections. You would need a bigger dash. So it just tells you oil service due, right? And that's the only light that comes on. I said, oh, so the oil service light came on. Well, that makes sense. Let's take a look and see what it's really asking us to do. Car can't know all that information. It just, you would have to have a really big dashboard. So, hey, good that you called. Let's take a look at that. And we're their advocate. We're the one helping. I've really looked at this in the last few years as I've been doing this as being an educator. And I think that's when I kind of found my groove in being a service advisor. To hear the term salesman, and no offense, Courtney, but I just felt like, oh my God, I don't want to be a salesman, but I do want to be an educator with all my heart. That's really where I'm at. That's where I live in so many different areas of my life is just teaching. And so to be able to teach people and help them understand how to keep a car on the road without having breakdowns, they're always going to happen, but do everything in your power, do what you can do to maintain the vehicle because they're a huge investment.
Mike, I know Rena and I believe she's about ready to say, when do you stop selling? And my point is that you say you're a salesperson. And Courtney, you too. I just don't think what you guys have done so successfully is really sell, is it?
No, that actually scares service advisors away. Because thinking of a salesman, everybody thinks of going in and a salesman, you know, they want your money. They want to put you in this car and then you're off, right? it almost makes me not want to recommend services to you additionally with the mindset of being a salesman, because I don't want to sell you. I don't want to feel like you're being taken advantage of. So the thought of being a salesman, it scares everybody away. But we were actually talking about this in our discussion a couple weeks ago with all of us. A salesman can definitely get the job done once. They can sell you. You can be on your way. You're going to be happy. But are you going to come back? Probably not. Us service writers, we are here to build a rapport with you, build your trust with you, become your friend. And we do more than just sales because, yes, we're recommending needed services for you to prolong your vehicle and protect your vehicle and your pocketbook. We just have a different mindset of things.
We're so much more than that, than just salespeople. So let's answer that question. So when do you stop selling? And my thought is we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to sell, and we have to approach that opportunity properly, meaning we need to be prepared. We need to have our pictures. We need to have our talking points. We need to have everything. We call the customer. We make the sale. You stop selling after you give the dollar amount. So as soon as I say, Carm, it's $2,323 for everything that we spoke about today, I am now done selling. You know, I should be done selling. This is not the point where I start begging the customer. If the customer wants more explanation, great. But that's not a sale. That's just explanation. So your sale comes, then your price, and now any explanation or, you know, answers to questions, which I guess is explanation. That's my opinion, is when you should stop selling. What do you guys think?
I recently made a shift in how we were using the program that we use to send estimates to customers. And we use something similar to one of your sponsors, Shopware. But I'm able to send an inspection. I'm able to send an actual estimate, you know, cost of repairs. But I stopped sending. In the beginning, we were like so excited about it because like, wow, look how fast we can do all this. And the customer can approve everything online. Wow, that's really super slick. However, we found that document, no matter how well we put it together, cannot create the value that I can or that your service advisor can. So we send the inspection and it helps us talk about sales tools, talk about communication tools. By sending that inspection, I get a phone call back that says, well, I saw everything that you told me about the car, but it didn't have any pricing on it. Oh, okay, great. I'm glad you looked at that. Did you have any questions about what I sent you over? That's the technician's findings, and he doesn't have prices. He just sees the car. That tool allows me to know, who am I dealing with? If a customer says, yeah, I saw the pictures of my struts. Is there a problem with them? Da, da, da. So they begin to ask me questions about the car. They want to know. Another customer may say, yeah, I saw all that. How much is it? Then I know that I'm dealing with somebody that just wants to get to the bottom line of things, and I can tell them, hey, if I was going to put you in that car and your grandchildren and tell you to drive to New York and back, here's what you'd be spending. And we can talk about that. But if you give the customer the opportunity to ask questions and they've only seen the inspection and no pricing and they actually ask questions, that customer wants to know. Take the time to walk through those findings and let them know why it's important.
I think that we were able to increase your average dollar per repair order by $200 or $300 when we made that shift. You know, because like Mike said, we were all really excited, like, oh, hey, we can send the estimates. We can just get everyone to say yes or no. And we did find that for some people that works well, but for the majority of our customers, they're just not quite there yet. They really still need us to guide them, to advise them, service advisors. That's what we do. We advise people. We don't send a text and say, do you want this? Yes or no. We actually are advising people on this is what should be done first, second, or third. We're not letting the customers pick what should be first, second, or third done on their core or not done at all. You know, we did. We kind of dialed it back a little bit and we're still using the technology, but we're using it also with us being the guide for the customer.
Yes, the story guide. The story guide. Oh my God, story brand. Mike, I was so impressed with what you just said. And Rena, I wrote down, instead of opportunity to sell, I wrote down opportunity to serve. You were a servant right there. You set the questions up by sending the pictures and say, hey, we found stuff. So let me tell you what I think we need to do to serve you, to service your vehicle. Keep it up. Keep it running. Keep it reliable. Keep it safe.
Love it.
Opportunity to serve.
You were at the front of our building. Reliability, dependability.
Is there a moment in time that we catch ourselves selling? Is it something that just happens, or have you been able to push all that selling stuff out of your karma? Does it ever creep up, Courtney?
I don't think it does. The inspections that we're doing, it is there. This is your vehicle. This is not something that I've made up. So that's just adding the value that we provide, that this is your vehicle. Here's the severity of it. This is what your fluid looks like compared to brand new fluid. And this is what we're recommending to help you.
I think what you're saying is like what Mike said, is we're not really like selling, we're educating, right? Like
definitely
being an educator.
Yeah.
Correct. And it's just thinking of yourself as, you know, the opportunity to serve the customer, to educate the customer. Carm, I think that with Courtney and maybe with Mike and with some select few advisors, they don't necessarily sell, they educate. But I do think that there's a lot of advisors out there that don't take the time to educate. They call the customer and they're like, okay, yeah, so we see here that your water pump is leaking, you need front brakes, air filter's dirty, you need a transmission fluid service, everything together would be this much, you want to do it. And I will say that some customers want that. Some customers want to be sold. Some customers need that. I don't have time for you to fluff it up. I'm going to say 80% of people want you to fluff it up. They want a phone call. They expect a phone call. This is a major decision for them. And yes, I do think that we should take the time, and we need to know our customers to know, do you need me to call and just sell this to you? Or do you want me to educate you? And so we do. We have to get to know the customer.
I wrote down bedside manners, bedside behavior, while I was listening to you, thinking that, okay, doc, tell me straight up. Don't sugarcoat it. So you ultimately, as you're with your customer, listening to them on the phone, they've come in, they've done a face-to-face, you're going to go back with an inspection. You know what they're expecting from you, or at least the manner of the way you would like to present it. I mean, do you discover that, Courtney, Mike? And does the kind of person that they are, could be a high dominant, time, you just give it to them straight, or, hey, it's great, tell me, how's it going? And do you change your style of approach?
I think when going back to what we were talking about earlier as being a listener on the phone, I am actually building a portfolio in my head already. I'm judging you. You're judging me, I'm judging you. But what we're trying to do is I'm trying to figure out, what kind of person are you? And I'm building a rapport with you as well. Like, on my behalf, I have a lot of empathy. And I've also been a female on the receiving side of receiving service and also giving service, right? And I've seen this industry where some people come in on defense mode. So what I like to do is I like to show people that I'm here to help you. And if you have any questions for me, no question you ask me is a stupid question. We'll figure out these stupid questions together. It's all about that first initial phone call and taking in all this information as you can. And you're building this portfolio to figure out, who are you working with? And by that point, when you're building trust with your customer, when you trust your friends, you're going to buy from your friends. So if you can build that trust and they can trust you, you don't even have to sell anything to them. People will come into your facility and say, go ahead and do this, Courtney. Like, just take care of it for me, because you've built that trust.
I'm so engaged in what you're saying. And you said, we'll find out together. It took me a long time in my life to realize that I needed to say, I don't know, I'll get back to you. Okay? Because I always felt that I had this particular role, and that I always had to have every answer, and it was always had to be right. Once I gained confidence to say that I could say, I don't know, it turned me around. It ever happened to you?
Oh, me, definitely. You notice we go to the same hair color stylist. So, you know, I have a boatload of experience in the industry. And so I would expect that people think I'm just going to know off the top of my head. And it was like somebody threw me a life preserver to say, Mike, get that customer's information and get back to them. Do the research. Give them a real answer. Do a good job, not a fast job. And so, yes, I have enough experience that I probably know who to call or where to call, or where to look up that kind of information and get you a right answer, a correct answer, and a real plan for you. It was a lifesaver for me to be able to say, you know what? That's a great question. I've been doing this a long time, and I'm not going to know right now, but I'm going to find out for you.
And if I was on the phone with Courtney, Mike, and she said, I don't know, but we'll do this thing together, I would hang that phone up and just be looking at the phone, waiting for it to call, because she's going to be the answer lady.
Somebody's going to find out.
It's almost like there's another level of no like and trust or confidence there, where she's saying, wow, whew, You stumped me on that. I've been in this business a lot of years. Why don't you let me research that and get back to you? I think that's glorious.
You know what that does to people, like you're mentioning? They hang up the phone and they're like, wow, that was so great. Sometimes I honestly have people calling me just to tell me how their day was or to tell me they thought about me. I really had someone go into a dealership. It's probably been about a month ago, but he called me to say, hey, Courtney, I just wanted to let you know I went into this dealership that you previously worked at. And I want to say that you should be running this place now and I miss you. Any service from me. He just wanted to say, I went here and I thought of you.
Wow.
That's nice.
Then did you say, how come you're not here?
Well, yeah, exactly. He was going there for a recall. So unfortunately, I couldn't help him. I still thought that was very impactful for me that I know that I'm doing a good job. When people are remembering me for my remarkable service and just being a friend to them, they just want to call and say hi.
It makes your job easier and more pleasurable when you leave work and you're like, look at all the people I helped today, instead of, oh, look at all these problems today. You know, like just switching the way that you think about it, I think is really beneficial as an advisor. These aren't problems. This is my opportunity to serve. Carm, years ago, we did a show called, like, I think it was like What Happens When the Phone Rings or something like that. I can't remember the name of it. To prepare for that show, one of the things that I did is I asked all of, like, not my friends, but like just like acquaintances, a few questions about automotive repair. And one of the things I asked them is, so what do you think about when you are calling a repair shop? Like, what's going through your mind? And the most common answer that I got was, I feel nervous and I feel lonely. People kept repeating that word lonely. And I'm like, lonely, that's kind of a strange word. But you know what it is? They want somebody to say, I'm going to do this with you. You know, they don't have somebody that they can call and say, hey, the shop told me that I need an alternator. Do you think that I really need an alternator? We need to be that person. We need to be the confidant. We need to be that person that they trust, that they say, do you really think I need that? And then be able to believe us. And you know, the thing is again, I don't want to talk down about a salesman, but you're not going to trust a salesman, but you are going to trust somebody who has been patient with you, who has taken time, who's given you, you know, that confident feeling, that friendly feeling, their time. You're going to believe them. So that's more of what we need from service advisors is look at yourself as this person's, in a way, like their friend, the person that's going to walk them through car repair. Hold their hand through the car repair.
I wrote that down. Be their friend.
Yep. If it was me. One of the things that I found, like I say, being at the age I was when I became a service advisor, I was already 55 years old when I became a service advisor. So looking at being a student, but if you're not a student, can't be an educator. So I think you have to continue to polish what you do so that you can, anything you study, anything you understand well, you're going to find more opportunities to share that in the conversation, if that makes any sense. Whatever your hobby, whatever your excitement is, whatever your area of expertise is, you can find a lot of parallels and ways to interject that into a conversation. When you become a student of customer service, which is what we're doing, and how to be an educator, you find opportunities and ways to interject what you know and what you understand about people's need for customer service and helping them to do auto repair or auto maintenance. The more time you spend studying and understanding, the more opportunities you're going to have to interject good information and good customer service.
Let's talk about training. There is every training course you could possibly find for electric vehicles and hybrids and GDI and you name it. And now I know they're building great classes. In fact, we're going to do an episode on a trainer that is teaching technology to service advisors. And we didn't even get a chance to talk about, you know, that the gap of knowledge that you need to have today that's constantly changing. But my point I was trying to make, and I've been on my soapbox the last couple of days, about the word tuition. I want to change the paradigm in the industry from paying for training to investing in a tuition for my people. And let people stop and think, oh, kind of like college. Interesting. And guess what? You do your 4 or your 6 years of college, you pay your tuition. It doesn't stop. It keeps going and going and going. So if we can change the wording or the paradigm of paying for training, I'm going to pay for training. I don't have time to let them go to daytime. I can't pull them away from the counter, to the investment as a tuition to improve people all the time. Courtney, I know that you work with Rena. Mike, you work with Rena. No doubt she's a very talented person that has made you guys to rise to the level that you are. What do you think of the investment that your employer makes in you?
It feels good. It's not only the dollars and cents, but it's right now in order to spend some time with you and help people to better understand what we're doing and what it takes to train a good service advisor. I'm away from the counter. Right. So it's a time investment. Like you said, pulling people away and doing that. But then I so often, my general manager has a coach and trainer. My owner has a coach and trainer. The other service advisors I work with coach and train. Our technicians do 16 hours a quarter to maintain their employment here. The thing that happens is you create a coaching and training environment, which I really did not fully understand until I was doing it for a while. But I would come out of my phone call and say, oh man, you know, how was your call, Mike? Well, me and Rena talked about this. And I think if I change, what's the one you're always after me about is my name is Mike instead of this is Mike. Conversation versus statement. Little things. And so, but my manager knows that I've been on my call and I come out and I'm excited. I share with him the things that I've learned. I show him my notes. I may talk to one of my other advisors that works beside me and say, hey, I've got this call coming up and my customer has these three issues. How would you approach that? Which one of those do you think is number one? Or she has this many kids. What do you think about, you know, in other words, because you're coaching and training, you're now open and accepting that and also offer it. So coaching and training doesn't have to be that I actually call my coach now. I've talked to the person next to me because they're familiar with a coaching and training environment. They're willing to share information. They understand the question I'm asking and I can share with them. They can share with me. It creates an environment in your store that's pretty amazing.
Cool. Courtney, investment and training in you.
I was going to say, I absolutely love the fact that we are all together and we have Rena as our coach. What I love the most is basically when I need help, they do on a daily basis. It just shows me that we all have hard days. You know, we all love to go to work, right? So every day is a new day, but we get to compare notes with other people who do the exact same thing as I do. Mm-hmm. And we're all open-minded. In this position, we're open-minded and we want the best for everyone, for ourselves, for our people who come in this industry. Getting to hear how other people word their selling, like with Mike, when you talk about how you've reworded or reset up how you bring in your oil change appointments, I would love to talk with you more about that because my wheels are turning. How do I make it more than just an oil change that comes in? So we get to branch out and talk with everybody on how to make things better, mm-hmm. just showing that we're all in this industry together and we're actually a big family.
Wow. I love that. My name is Mike instead of this is Mike. I mean, there's a cherry blossom that just fell off the tree, guys. I mean, take that and run with it. My name is Carm instead of this is Carm. I think it's brilliant. It's just brilliant. Courtney, do you use that?
It works every time. And I was actually talking about how I probably have a 99.9% rate or success every time I answer the phone. You know, hi, this is Global Car Care. My name is Courtney. How may I help you? Right away, they are giving me their name right away without question. So I don't have to ask them for their name. And now I know who I'm talking to.
Because you offered, my name is Courtney. Hey, this is Carm.
Yeah.
Be my friend. I'm lonely. Fix my car, please. We're going to wrap this thing up. But Courtney, Mike, Courtney, I'm going to go to you first. How many key droppers do you have? Just come in here, fix it.
I'd say at least 60, at least 60%.
Wow. See, you've built that trust with that client base. Wow.
Yeah, I've built it, but not only just me, my owner of Global Car Care. He has been in business for 30 plus years and people come here asking for Brian, but unfortunately, you're going to have to work with me. I'm not Brian.
Fortunately, you get to work with me.
I've got to make them think fortunately. I have to build that rapport with them first.
Trust me, it's the entire team. It's the back, it's the front, it's the office, it's the brand, it's the culture. And you're one of those components that make it all work. Basically, you're the face of the brand, face to the customer.
Yes, definitely.
This was great. Rena, let me give you the last word. I mean, thank you for bringing this together. I think we learned a ton. We've got to do more of these service advisor, not role plays, but just discussions, because I think we need to hear what's going through your mind and how you've valued and used training to become so much more of a professional.
Yes, my last word would be, I find that service advisors stay longer
when you create a community for them. And one of the things that we do is we have monthly peer groups. And so that's when Courtney is saying, like, you know, she gets to talk to other people. This week we did our monthly peer group and we talked about dealing with extended warranties. And so we got to hear from all different advisors from all around the country to talk about how they deal with extended warranties. And, you know, like I started off, I said, you know, we're kind of like, we get to be like lawyers. We're reading these legal documents and now they're talking to a room full of other people that read the same or similar contracts and talk about how to deal with them and get more and better customer service from extended warranties. So I think that my final word is people appreciate the investment and they will end up staying longer and being a better employee because of it.
Yeah, we just don't want this position in our industry to go unnoticed from the investment or the tuition that should be spent on training and networking and masterminding together. I mean, I'll tell you, there's so much to learn in a mastermind. I mean, just to say, I'm going to grow up and be like Mike. I'm going to grow up and be like Courtney. I can do that. Ooh, that was so cool. And then the connections start happening after you do your learning. And he says, hey, Mike, let's just spend a few moments together and walk me through what you did. And then you bring it to the company and says, hey, do you think we can do this? Exciting stuff. It's such a great industry. I so enjoyed this. Rena Rennebaum, Empowered Advisor, thank you for bringing Courtney and Mike to the show. And Mike Elsesser, did I say that right?
Elsesser. It's not easy. I told you there would be a bonus if you could do it.
DK Automotive in North Antioch, California?
Antioch, yeah. Antioch, California.
I'm going to screw this thing up here. Courtney Archer, Global Car Care in Wenatchee?
Yes.
No tea.
She's being nice to me. Washington.
Didn't it make you feel good?
Yes, it did.
I didn't have to correct you?
Yes, you didn't have to correct me. That's really good. Yeah, I'll drive from Buffalo out there to get my car fixed. No problem. Thank you so much. Great, great show. Appreciate your support.
Thanks, Carm. Thank you,
Thanks, Carm. All right.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.